Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is our refuge and strength. O come, let us worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. The Lord is our refuge and strength. Oh, come, let us worship. Reading from the book of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I shall restore to you double. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is loving to everyone, and his compassion is over all his works. All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. They make known the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power, that the peoples may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. The Lord is faithful in all his words and merciful in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will take you from the nations and gather you from every country and bring you home to your own land. I will pour clean water upon you, purify you from all defilement, and cleanse you from all your idols. A new heart I will give you, and put a new spirit within you. I will take from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, make you walk in my ways, and observe my decrees. You shall dwell in the land I gave to your forebears. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I'd like to reflect on the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is a very appropriate reading in the time of a pandemic and of great uncertainty. I'd like to approach it, first of all, from the point of view of the antecedents in the Old Testament. Matthew's Gospel is quite different from the others because of the environment in which Matthew is writing. He's likely in northern Israel, in Galilee, or in Syria, among Jewish Christians, in dialogue with early rabbinic Judaism over the question of who is Jesus? What is the legitimacy of this early Christian movement? By what authority do we Christians claim to be able to reinterpret the law of Moses? So Matthew is portraying Jesus very much as the new Moses, as the one who has authority to promulgate the new and reformed burdens and yoke of the Torah. If you read carefully through Matthew's Gospel, you'll see a lot of this mosaic imagery in terms of the division of the book into five parts representing the five books of the Torah. You'll see it on the mountain motif. Jesus goes up to mountain to deliver his sermons and things like that. There are a number of these different motifs that run through it. Here in Matthew, in terms of the text this morning, we only find it in Matthew's Gospel. You will not find it in Mark, in Luke, or in John. It's something specific to the Matthean tradition, which I think itself is quite important. He likely has something very important to say in that particular environment. The themes that run through it are very much resonant with the Old Testament. If one reads through particularly the book of Isaiah, Hosea, and Micah, there are frequent references to the call to come to me to find renewal. Jeremiah 31:25, God will satisfy the weary. Isaiah 30:15, in returning and rest, you shall be saved, but you refused. In Psalm 95, verse 11, God swears in his wrath that they would not enter into my rest. You'll see that in the Book of Common Prayer morning prayer service. The idea is that the God of Israel calls Israel to rest, to shalom, to peace, to wholeness. God will satisfy the weary and renew strength. This is the role of God. But in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus represents God and stands in for God in bringing about this restoration of Israel. So the law that Jesus promulgates as the new Moses is the law which brings to fulfillment the goals and purposes of the Torah in Israel brought about by God. So Jesus not only stands in the place of Moses, but stands in the place of God in bringing about the goals of the Torah. Very rich in terms of Old Testament background. This would not have been lost on the astute Jewish reader. Then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. Now, yoke is used not too often in the Old Testament, but frequently the word is, the Hebrew is called ol, ayin, lamed, and it's used, for example, in reference to political tutelage. It's used with respect to Solomon laying a yoke on the people. It's used to refer to the Assyrian yoke or the Babylonian yoke in terms of tribute and political allegiance owed to another power. So it's basically the political yoke of rights and responsibilities, taxes and service and laws and everything that goes with a political system. In the New Testament, It's used a few times in Acts 15:16. It refers to the yoke of the law. This is in a discourse in which the apostles are debating the legitimacy of the Jewish mission in Jerusalem at a council. And the point is that you Judaizers, you that are imposing the law on Christians, you are imposing a yoke that you yourselves can't bear. So the yoke in Acts 15 is the yoke of the law. Paul uses this in the same sense in Galatians 5. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So again, Paul is also addressing the Judaizers. He's making the same point, and he's referring to the Torah as a yoke of slavery. And this kind of image is used in the relationship between Isaac and Ishmael, the son of promise, the son of slavery. And this theme is developed in Pauline thought. So in Paul and Luke, we have the yoke of the Torah as something oppressive. In Matthew 11, we have the counter argument, take my yoke on you. Why? Because you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. For Paul and Luke, the yoke of the Torah is a heavy burden. You can't even bear it yourselves. But for Matthew, Jesus' yoke, the yoke of the new Torah, the new law in Christ, is easy and is light. Well, this seems to suggest that the yoke is in some way related to the law. If you read a lot of commentaries on Matthew, the argument is made that this probably is in reference to the wisdom traditions of Proverbs, the call to wisdom and to find fulfillment and fullness of life through obeying the call to find wisdom. That may well be the case. The wisdom traditions are more prominent in Paul and in John. It's not so prominent, but probably also partly evident in Matthew. So I'm not discarding that, but I think there's something else going on here as well. If one looks at early rabbinic Judaism, the type of rabbinic Judaism that the Matthean church was in conflict or dialogue with, what do we find? There's some sayings called the Pirkei Avot, the sayings of the fathers, and a saying attributed to a rabbi, Nehunya ben Hakana, of the period of a rabbi around the time of the Jewish revolt, around the 60s and 70s. He said, whoever takes upon himself the yoke of the Torah, they remove from him the yoke of the government and the yoke of worldly concerns. So there's this sense of the Torah is a yoke which frees oneself from worldly concerns and brings rest, which is basically Matthew's point. Christ's yoke brings rest, in counter-distinction to the yoke referred to by Rabbi Ben Hakana. We don't know exactly the date of this text, but certainly Pirkei Avot had found its final form about 200 CE, and it may well be that this tradition was percolating around the Matthean community. So we see Jesus as the new Moses, the promulgator of a law which brings life, which when we are bound to Jesus as the one who brings not only a new way of life, a new ethic, but also a one who personally binds with us to bring all things into fruition. And if you want to trace this in early Christian tradition, read the Odes of Solomon, chapter 42. This is a Christian Syriac tradition, probably from the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd century CE. But Solomon, representing Christ, says, I lifted up over them the yoke of my love, like the arm of the bridegroom over the bride, so was my yoke over those who knew me. So this writer interprets this yoke of Christ as yoke of love, of relationality, of lifting us up in a time of trouble. So I think I'd ask you to reflect and think about this text as a means by which we can enter into partnership with Christ, and in Christ find renewal, find strength, allow Christ to take our burdens off us, the disappointments and the challenges of this pandemic period, and find rest in our souls by throwing ourselves onto Christ and allowing Him to lift our burdens off. In Christ, we have fullness of life. In Christ, we have renewal and we have fullness of life. And I pray that this morning, in prayer and in openness to Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit will set you free and bring wholeness of life into your life this day, now and forever. Amen.
Let us confess our faith as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Let us offer our prayers to the source of all love and life, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, guard and direct your church in the way of unity, service, and praise. Lord, hear our prayer. Give to all nations an awareness of the unity of the human family. Lord, hear our prayer. Cleanse our hearts of prejudice and selfishness, and inspire us to hunger and thirst for what is right. Lord, hear our prayer. Teach us to use creation for your greater praise, that all may share the good things you provide. Lord, hear our prayer. Strengthen all who give their energy or skill for the healing of those who are sick, in body or in mind. Lord, hear our prayer. Set free all who are bound by fear and despair. Lord, hear our prayer. Grant a peaceful end and eternal rest to all who are dying, and your comfort to those who mourn. Lord, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. I invite you now to offer your own prayers and petitions to God. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us that what we do for the least of your children, we do also for him. Give us the will to serve others, as he was the servant of all, who gave up his life and died for us, but lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Come unto me and rest.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.